D. Is Yeshua meeting any opposition? S. It is said that there are people who are unhappy because he goes around and preaches love. The zealots are very unhappy. They wish him to say, I am the Messiah. Follow me, I will be your king. And they would take up arms in a minute, at a moment's notice. But he shall never say this. D. You say that he preaches love? Love for each other, love for God? S. He speaks highly of love between your neighbors, love between your brothers and love towards strangers. To love someone, to share this with others is to share God with others. God is love. He is anything that fills a void that is inside. To share love with one another is the greatest thing that you can do, because it is sharing God. You are giving freely of yourself to another, without thought of return. This is part of the message. The people have accepted that the Lord God has a place in everyday existence. And they are learning to share this with one another, to grow closer, with this message. D. You said the people think he should just say, I am the Messiah. Do you think he is the Messiah? S. Emphatically, he is. D. Does he know this? S. Yes. This was taught to him since he was very young, who he was and what was to be. But to announce such would be, they would be able to proclaim him crazy or a blasphemer. He tells them he is the Son of Man. D. What does that mean? S. He is, as we all are, sons of man and God. I cannot explain this very well. He is God's son as I am God's son, but his destiny is to bring light in a greater way than I could. He is closer to his final destiny than I am. I am so far off, but he is almost to the point where we all strive. He is the next closest thing to perfection. D. If we are all the sons of God and also the sons of man, what is different about him? S. He has learned his lessons and he has followed his path to its completion. Jesus' ministry begins 231 D. So you think that this means he is perfect? S. He shall be. It was his choice to come once again in order to give this light to people. He did not have to come back. D. After this life would he ever return again? S. So it has been said, but for what purpose I know not. D. Do you have any news of Ben Zacharias? S. It is said that he is at the Jordan and many people listen to him. And he is, as he says, a voice crying in the wilderness, perhaps to open the hearts and the ears of men to the news that the great tone is here. There are many, like the zealots, who find him very attractive, because he is so fierce. He is as a wild man. His pathway was different and I have not seen him for many, many years. D. Do you think he has changed? S. No. He was always very fierce. He had been massaging his left elbow for quite a while as we talked and I asked him about it. He said his joint was giving him pain. I'm a very old man, he said with a sigh. They said that I have very little time left. He said he was ill with a coughing sickness and had been staying with his cousins in Nazareth permanently. I gave him instructions that his arm would not really bother him and he would feel no physical discomfort. D. Well, you have seen many things in your life. It was a great thing to be able to teach Ben Joseph and Ben Zacharias. S. Yes, it has been very good. I asked who was the king at this time. He said the first king Herod had died and Herod Antipas was now king, but things were not any better. If anything he is very much worse. He disliked speaking of either of them, the subject was distasteful to him. Reference material refers to Archelaus as the successor to Herod, they do not mention Antipas. Suddy mentioned Philip as another brother, but he never mentioned Archelaus. I thought this conflicting and curious. Surely there would be something in the Bible about this. Both Harriet and I were reading the Bible more now than ever before, and getting a great deal more out of it as this history was being relived through Katie's remembrances. But Antipas is not mentioned in the Bible, while Archelaus is said to be the successor of Herod. The king at the time of Christ's birth and the one at his death were both always called Herod. During the Jesus and the Essence time of Christ the king is only called Herod, the Tetrarch, in the Bible. Where did Katie ever come up with the name of Antipas? Again, research revealed that she was correct. Herod the Great was Jewish by religion but a Roman citizen of Arabian blood, which may explain some of the resentment the people had to being ruled by him. As Sadi said, he cannot decide whether he wishes to be Greek or Jew, and therefore, he is not a very good one of either. He also was extremely cruel. He became king in 36 BC, at the age of 37, and died in 4 BC. He had murdered some of his own family, but out of those left alive, three of his sons were named to continue the rule. They were Archelaus, Antipas and Philip. It was decided by the Roman government that the country would be ruled by all three. They were to be what is called tetrarchs. Sometimes a Roman province would be broken up into sexoft-hyphensions, and a tetrarch or petty king would each rule a section. Archelaus, being the elder, was given the largest area of Judah and appointed ethnarch governor. Antipas and Philip were made tetrarchs over the remainder of the kingdom. But Archelaus displeased Rome, and in 6 AD he was banished from the country. Judah then became a third-class Roman province to be directly administered by Roman procurators. This was an official who managed the financial affairs or acted as a governor. The most famous of these was, of course, Pontius Pilate. Philip was at this time ruling northern Palestine. Since he was not making waves, he was allowed to continue. After Archelaus was banished, Antipas took his place and became tetrarch over the largest part of Judah. He adopted the name of Herod and he was the one in power at the time of the beheading of John and the death of Christ. It is amazing to me how Katie could have known these uncommon names involved with the history of the time unless she was there. Sadi sounded so old and tired and sad during the last part of this session. I was hoping that he would live during the entire lifetime of Jesus. I wanted to get more information about his life. How many times does a chance like this come along? But now it appeared that Sadi might die just as Jesus was beginning his ministry. I hoped to get the story of the crucifixion. But how? Sadi was in Nazareth, too ill to travel, and Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem, quite a distance away. Even if Sadi lived, it looked very doubtful that he would have been able to travel there. So a Jesus ministry begins appeared he would die on us before the story was finished. I hoped maybe there would be some way. But if not, we would just have to be grateful for what information we had received. I had taken Sadi ahead in time to when he was about 50 years old. He was sitting off on the hills above Nazareth, probably not far from his cousin's house. His voice sounded so weary. Sigh, I'm very old. I'm 51. Something, 52? I'm very tired. I am a very old man. It was hard for me to accept that age as old, but I suppose it was so in their culture. I told him I did not think of him as an old man. But it is. It is o fine age where that many men have died sooner. I'm an old man. Sidi, what are you doing up in the hills? It is not for. I could not walk for. I'm communing. Trying to bring myself into touch with the universe and meditate upon my life. Soon I will die. It is known to me. I have perhaps a year. I no longer am able to take air to breathe. My chest hurts. And I cough much. Thus I know because of this and the fact that I am just very tired. Does it bother you to think that your time is almost up? Why should it? This makes very little sense. This is foolishness. Why not pass on and learn from this experience and start another? He sounded so depressed that I wanted to change the subject, but I chose one that was also depressing to him. Have you heard any news of Ben Zacharias? He has died. He was imprisoned by Herod and beheaded. He disliked talking of it. Why was he put in prison? For preachings edition. That was an unfamiliar word to me. He preached what they believed was wrong and against the prophets. It is like treason against the state, only it is against God. She began to cough deeply. I gave her reassuring suggestions that she would feel no real physical discomfort. I did not think that Herod was a religious man. Why would he be worried about what Ben Zacharias was preaching? Jesus and the Essences, Herod does not know what he believes. This is his faith and his trials. And this is why Herod had him imprisoned? That, and the fact that was afraid of him, off with would do. He had many followers. What exactly was he preaching? The things that he spoke of were of the Messiah, of his coming. That all sin must be faced. That they must confess to themselves that they were in wrong. Doing that is half of the battle toward freedom. It was Herod's idea to have him imprisoned so that he would speak with him, but it is said that it was his whore that had him beheaded. D. Why would a woman have anything to say about something that important? S. He preached the truth, and the truth must eventually get through to others. See the reference to Herodias in chapter 6. It is said that Herod began to believe. And therefore, since Ben Zechariah spoke so much out against her and her vileness and the life they led, she was afraid of losing power. For Herod to believe in what Ben Zechariah said, and to face that what he did was wrong. If he faced this, then would not he have set her aside? And thereby she would lose power. Katie paused. Suddy seemed to be having discomfort. There is great difficulty in breathing. Let go fair. I decided to move Katie forward to relieve her of the physical symptoms. Incidentally, I have never had a case where experiencing these physical reactions have caused any effect on the conscious person's soft-hyphenality. The subject always awakens feeling fine with no memory of any illness associated with their death in another life. All of that is left totally in the past with the other personality. Chapter 24, Preparation for Crucifixion. I had moved Sadie ahead to relieve Katie of the distressing physical symptoms. When I finished counting she was smiling, and when she spoke his voice no longer sounded so tired and weary. S. I am among my friends. I am with my sister. D. Oh? Didn't your sister die? S. You speak of dying. There is no death. There is only other forms of existence. D. Where are you? S. I watch as they prepare me body. When I first began working with regressions and I found I was able to speak to someone after they had died, it was quite startling. But I have done this so many times since, it has now become commonplace, if something this strange can ever be called comsoft-mun. I have observed during the sessions that the hypnotized person does not become upset upon finding themselves dead. It usually bothered the observers in the room much more than the subject. The witnesses expect a violent reaction, a protesting against death, or at least a revulsion when the person sees their own dead body. Peaceful, natural deaths show no trauma at all. But the personality usually wants to hang around long enough to find out what happened to the body. You do become attached to the thing, after all. After they watch the burial or whatever, then they are ready to go on to something else. It is also a surprise to observers that the personality continues intact after death with little change. I have become quite accustomed by now to talking with the dead after they have crossed over. But this is often hard for the other people in the room to understand. I have found you can obtain much information from the spirit. But the quality of that information depends upon the evolution or development of that spirit. Here again, they will tell you only what they know at that time. Jesus and the Essence Suddy was about 53, 54 years old when he died in Nazareth while living with his cousins. I wondered why he had chosen to stay there with them instead of returning to his beloved Quran. S. My duty had been discharged. I no longer had a great purpose to stay there. I had no family to keep me. I misunderstood his statement. I thought he meant there was no one to keep him, to take care of him. Surely, as humanitarian as the Essens were, they would have provided for him in his last days. S. No, when I say no family to keep me, I mean my family was no longer here. Therefore, my ties were almost broken. This was true, his only sister had died. He had expended so much energy in the teaching of Jesus and John, maybe he had no desire to return and teach others. S. I traveled for a while. Talked with the people and listened to what they had to say about the prophecies. I let them know that the time had come that they had been preparing for all their lives. And hopefully, in the teachings that I did, I enlightened a few people. I left a few seeds, hopefully they gave growth. D. Well, sometimes that is all you can hope for. Earlier, when I asked Suddy what his illness was, he said he had the coughing sickness. Now, after death, he was well aware what the trouble was. S. There was a cancerous growth in the lungs that had all but consumed them. This obviously would have caused a great deal of coughing, pain and difficulty in breathing, so he had defined it correctly in the terms of his day as the coughing sickness. D. Do you know what caused that? S. Who knows? The dust? It was. It had been chosen before Thatis would be the manner of my death. It was to help in my growth. D. Oh? To die in a certain way has an importance? S. Yes. To learn to deal with it on a day-to-day basis. How to live with it as well as die with it. Preparation for crucifixion. He had had much pain before he died, but he had been able to control it by use of the mind and manipulation of the energies. D. This is good. You didn't have to suffer, because you knew how to do these things. Many people don't know how to use these mind processes. S. Most people do, deep within. They have just closed themselves off to this knowledge, and this is a great rage, AD. It can be regained by the practicing of meditation. Of opening oneself up to the knowledge that is there. It is through just a grasp, but you have to open oneself up. You must start from within. That decision must be made that you shall be open, then it shall begin to come and it shall grow. D. In other words, they have to want it themselves? S. Yes, just as all healing must come from within. It has become time to pass on this knowledge. If people are ready for the seeds, they shall grow. It is up to them. He was watching as his body was being prepared. I asked what would be done with it. S. It shall be burned as I requested. It shall be burned outside the walls of Nazareth, and my ashes shall be taken to the community. There they shall be scattered to theft winds. I was very disappointed that Sadi had died before our story was finished. Since he died before Jesus, did this mean our story was over? I sincerely wanted to know about the rest of the life of Christ. This had been a unique, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but I was at a loss to figure out how to obtain more information. At least I could ask questions about what Sadi knew of him just prior to his death. D. Did you have any news of Yeshua before you died? S. He was teaching, and is still trying to shed light to the multitudes. There are many who are listening. He is ministering to the people, speaking to them of love and hoping to pass the understanding upon to others. D. How are the people accepting this? S. The rare always this way would believe anything, no matter what was spoken, just because it was spoken. And there are those who believe because they have considered. Then there are those who doubt because of who he is. And they say, how is it to be that this Jesus and the Essence Man should have all this wisdom? They speak of his family. That he is not a prince among men. That he is just a poor man, who has no possessions. They say, where are his fine robes? And they have not come to the understanding that possessions do not make the man, but the man possessions. A man, he can have nothing, but if has goodness and understanding and compassion toward others, he is richer than the man who is a country and has not of these things. D. But they don't know of his great education, do they? S. No. It shall not be known of how he was taught. Not taught, but showing that he was on the right pathway. Showing himself, giving himself faith in what he was doing. D. Why was that to be kept secret? S. Sigh. We're over people who wished that it remain secret, because of problems with different religions and others. And the fact that he was taught was not important. The fact that it was important was that he knew. He has this knowledge, this is what is important. D. Was he born with this knowledge or was this something he learned in his life as Yeshua? S. He was born wise, but he was not born with all of knowledge that was amassed in his lifetime. He was taught in many schools. Among them, those known as the community of the Essence. There were many lands and many teachers that he sat at their knees and listened and learned. He was shown many different ways and paths. And in turn he showed others the right ways upon their paths. Sadi had said earlier that Jesus had gone to all of the known world on travels with his uncle in his search for knowledge. I wanted to know more specifically which countries. S. There were trading outposts of the Phoenicians that they went to in the north. There were those towards Cathay and those treks that were traveled upon. He went to India and spoke with some of the wise men. Egypt, to different countries of that area. He also learned upon the shores of what is known as Britain. I do not know if he went to others or not. He went to most of what is known to man. Jesus' uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, was a trader of mostly tin and other metals. Their group traveled under this guise, but they knew Jesus went with them for another purpose: to gain understanding of others, and also to give understanding to others. He was sometimes accompanied by his mother on these journeys. Preparation for crucifixion study said he was called something similar to Maria in those days. His father, Joseph, had been much older than she, and had died when Yeshua was in his 20s. He had seen his son come to manhood, and this was his task. Friends had asked me to inquire about the death of Joseph. They wondered if maybe this was what delayed the ministry of Jesus, that maybe he had to take the responsibility of helping Mary raise the large family. Were there not his younger brothers and sisters? They were not that much younger. At the time there was help by Joseph, the uncle, and others. There were several helpers who were carpenters, who kept the family business going, so that there was an income. And, from time to time, Yeshua would come back and help out. Do you know if his younger brothers and sisters ever felt resentful that he wasn't there constantly? They were raised with the knowledge that had much to do, and not a great amount of time in which to accomplish this. How can children raised by such understanding parents be misunderstanding? They accepted. There was great love. One could not know Yeshua and not love him. This was not possible. When Yeshua was traveling to all the other countries, why did he come back to his own country to start his ministry there? Because, at the time, this was a meeting place of the way between the east and those of the west. Therefore the knowledge might be spread to a great many from this central point. And this was known. Did he have any followers in these other countries? It is said that he had a great many people who listened to his wiseness. Didn't he know that when he came back he would be in danger? Yes. He knew from a very young age how he will die. This is the hardest part to accept, is knowing that even with his foreknowledge, that he would still love man so much, to give up of himself for them. Yes, it's one thing to not know what's going to happen to you. You don't have any control over it then. But he knows, and still is willing to do it anyway. That would be very difficult. You know, there are stories that he has done miracles. Are these stories true? Jesus and the Essences, yes, miracles is the term that you would use. There are things that you would call miracles. They are not in a sense miraculous. For everyone has this ability, it is innate and inborn. One could develop this ability if one had the discipline and the time to meditate and have the mental disciplines that one must do, so that one could do similar things. He was in tune with himself and with the spiritual planes, as well as having great ability. And the combination of these helped him to work what are called miracles. It is using the laws of nature and the universe. In his knowledge of these laws he was able to do things that others considered miraculous, but which all men have the power to do. But you must open yourself to be a channel of the power, so that these may be performed. You just must have the knowledge and the will to use it. He was just a very clear channel. Was he taught how to do these things? Yes, he was. That was part of the regimen of training he was growing up. And since he was to be the great exemplar, he was able to develop these abilities to a very fine-tuned point. His teachers could do things, like raising objects or changing lead to gold. But he could do better things, like breathing life back into someone who was dead, changing water to wine or what have you. And he could, using his abilities on those who were sick, he could balance their energies to where they would be well again. I wonder how he could go about changing water to wine? It's hard to explain. It's like a combination of several abilities working together. Everything he did applied to the natural laws of the universe. It's just that some of them he applied on the earthly plane that usually apply to the spiritual plane. They can apply to the earthly plane, but they have to have a medium, like a human being, to help and to channel it. Yes. Have you heard of some of these so-called miracles that he has performed? He performed so many every day, that I could not be able to list all of them. But he did things, in general, like healing the deaf, the lame, the blind and things of this nature. You just must have the knowledge and the will to use it. He was just a very clear channel. He has drawn pull back from this side, back into the existence, by just calling them. All things are possible with faith. One must just believe that one can do this. Preparation for crucifixion. D. But once someone has left the body, wouldn't the body begin to deteriorate? S. After a certain time. You would not do this with someone who was 6 months dead. But, in all of the cases that I have heard of this occurring, they had newly crossed over, and perhaps, by mistake had crossed over. It has not been unknown, that perhaps the body ceased to function at a time that it was not supposed to. He was not doing it to try to unbalance F cycles off to lives, but in those cases to where their life was cut short by an act of circumstance, and he could see that they had not worked out their debts yet. And it would be better if could work out their debts at that time. He breathed life back into them so they could come back and work out that portion of to debts. Have you not heard of people who had died and then resurrected from the grave because it was not their time? He was just there to help guide them back. This sounded a great deal like the NDEs, near-death experiences, that are now being reported in ever-increasing numbers. These are cases where people have been pronounced officially, medically, dead and then they miraculously revived. Often today this is due to our advanced medical care. D. I thought it was an infallible system. That you die when you're supposed to and there was never any chance of mistakes being made. S. There are always chances of things to go awry. It is not very often. Sometimes it is also a lesson that must need to be learned. Therefore, they are let loose to the other sides, to awaken themselves to the knowledge that is here. Sudi said Yeshua had called people back a few times and I asked for specific cases. D. Were these people he knew or just strangers? S. Sometimes he knew them and sometimes they were strangers. The centurion's daughter he did not know. This Roman commander's daughter was very ill. He heard that there was a prophet that could help her. So he sent a servant back to Yeshua. And it was 2 days' journey. And the servant says, please come, please hurry, she is very ill. And Yeshua says, wait a minute, I've got to finish what Jesus and the essence I'm doing here first. And Yeshua basically took his time getting back to the Roman commander's house. When he got there it was too late and the daughter was dead. And Yeshua saw that her life was not yet finished and she had more debts to work out. So he breathed life back into her body, telling the Roman commander, do not worry, she's only asleep now. Then he left. She slept a normal span of time and then she woke up and she was well. Then there was one who was his cousin, Lazarus. He was the only son of his widowed mother. He was called back. But it was not his time to die, he had much to do and Yeshua knew this. D. I thought once he had been put into the tomb that he couldn't. S. Interrupted. He had not been sealed up. The seal had not been placed. All they do for preparation in this country is to anoint the body with oils. A few of them would bum them on pyres. But for the most part it is just anointed with oils and wrapped in linens and placed in the tombs or whatever. D. How much time could elapse and they would still be able to come back into the body? S. A few days. Maybe two at the most. After that it would require renewal of much more than just the spirit entering back. D. One of the miracles that we have heard of, I don't know if you know of it or not, is where he fed a whole lot of people. S. Where heft them with just a few fish and loaves of bread. Yes, this is done through, again, the natural laws of bounty. If you have need, and believe it will be there, it will be there. It certainly didn't sound to me like a natural law to be able to divide up a few things among many people. Sadie was patient with me as he tried to explain. S. But you have got to believe that it shall happen, and it shall occur. He believed he could divide it and they all believed in him. I know not if it were an actual fish or if they believed in it and were sated. This brings up an interesting concept. If the people believed strongly enough in what Jesus was doing, it did not matter whether or not the food was solid three-dimensional physical food. It could have been an illusion. The main thing is that they believed they were being fed and thus their hunger was satisfied. Preparation for crucifixion, that was the purpose, even though it may have been accomplished by psychological means. There were many questions about Jesus' life that people have wondered about, and this seemed to be a good opportunity to find out. I said, "Some people say that he had a very strange birth. Do you know anything about that?"